Satan tries to tell me. He recalls the times I've let God down. But then I remind him of a Savior who died for countless failures. From chains of sin I am no longer bound.
He forgot more than I'll ever know. When he took my sins and he washed me white as snow.
Imagine anything among the human family, the human species, that is more wonderful than just simply loving the Creator, the great God. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord got a hold of me last night with the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And if you would turn with me in your Bible, there are 13 verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Hallelujah. The next time Brother Terry plays that, I want him to be prepared to sing. Okay, Brother Terry? I will look forward to that with joy. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love. Now I'm going to use love in each of these words where it says charity, because in the original it was the same word, agape. Agape is both charity and love. And so the word in the text was originally agape. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. This is love. We're talking about love. The Holy Ghost is talking about love. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. I mean, this is overwhelming. When I was a child, said Paul, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. But the greatest of these is love. I'm going to preach this morning, the Lord helping me, on the transcendent value called love. The transcendent value or virtue called love. Father, your servant is in love with you. The love I have for you is bigger than me. And it didn't come because of something good down inside of me. It came because of something you did in me and for me. And I stand here grateful, God, that I can love you with all of my heart. But Father, I don't want to just love you. I want to love the Son and the Holy Ghost and my wife and my children and my grands and my brothers, the church, the Bible, everything of value that this word has valued and raised up for us, I want to love it. I want to love it with all of my heart. I want to die for it. I want to suffer for it. I want to bear the cross with it. In Jesus' name, Father, fill us with love this morning, I pray, for his honor and for his glory, and you may be seated. I have read in your hearing 13 verses of the Bible that are probably, if you value, you know, words, and you value, you know, the beauty of writing, you value literature, you value sentence structure, you value the English language, or someone else may be a different language, but they value it, then this chapter absolutely is beyond the pale. It is the greater of the greatest. It is really a marvelous chapter. And when I read it last night, I was praying, Lord, I got to have the message from the Holy Ghost. And when all of a sudden, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians just fell on my head, the love of God came instantly and flooded my very soul. I mean, flooded my very soul. Hallelujah. And this morning, if I could lead you into a deeper passion after love, it would be the joy of my heart. Love. Many things that you can love. Many things you can love that you shouldn't love. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, said the Holy Ghost. The Bible makes it plain. We cannot love this old flesh. The flesh is so destructive and deceiving and will lead us astray. But when you really fall in love with the things of God, it's an amazing experience. I remember this morning, the night I was saved. I remember just a 16-year-old brat, and what a empty, what a hopeless life I was living. And I remember that instantly. I mean seconds later, after the grace of God had appeared to me, I was a new man. I was a different man. And I immediately fell in love with the things of God, the things of the Bible. I immediately fell in love with the saints. I immediately fell in love with those things that are valuable. Hallelujah. Now, let's talk this morning about love. Let's talk about the value of love. What do you feel about love? How many of you have a heart and you yearn for the love of right things to possess you and take hold of you? How many want a love for your dear wife or your dear husband or your children or your grandchildren or the lost out there in the world or the mission fields or the church or the Word of God or the many wonderful things? And you really want love to capture you. You see, it's not fitting to our society today. There is a spirit of Antichrist. There's a spirit of evil that comes against us like a storm. I mean, it's like a storm. It will literally attack your mind until your mind becomes a jungle of all kinds of things, but absent of the things that are really wonderful and beautiful. The enemy is after your destruction. He's after you being in the fires of hell. He wants you to share with him in the misery of a judgment soon to come. Oh, how the devil hates you, but wants you to be part of everything ugly and mean. That's the world we live in. And it all is coming against people. I feel sorry for children who are not raised in Christian homes. I feel sorry for children in public sectors of education. I feel sorry for our generation and the things consuming them to hell. But I want to tell you, God's got the still, the right, and the pure, and the holy. And you can have love in the midst of hatred. You can have love in the midst of the meanest, old, ugly spirit. You can have love in the face of criticism and gossip. You can have love when hell breathes down your neck. You can have love when everything around you is falling apart because the love of God is unfailing. Hallelujah. It cannot be defeated. It will rise and shine in the darkest night. It will keep on beaming its glory and its beauty. Hallelujah. I want to tell you this morning that love can't be put out. It's like a fire of heaven. It can't be put out. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank God for love. Thank God for love. Thank God for love. Now, love in its greatest measure is when you fall in love with God. When you fall in love with the Creator. Love in its greatest measure is when you meet him and he comes into your life and he takes over your life. I'll never forget. I hope you can remember the moment you were born again, the moment you were saved, the moment the grace of God came like a glorious, beautiful thing and raptured your soul. How many remember when you were saved? Do you remember how you felt immediately? Do you remember how you felt immediately? Do you remember that love broke upon you? I don't care who you were angry with and who had broken your heart and who had turned against you and who had wounded you. The moment you got saved, you loved them. You may not love them a week or two later. That was because you allowed that to happen. But I'm going to tell you, when you really let God take over, love takes over. You can't have God without having love. And you can't have the right love without having God. I mean, it just goes together, God and love. If there is one thing that describes the nature of God, it is a genuine and pure love. If there's one thing that fits the very character of God, it is love. Somebody says, well, God is love. No, God is holiness, and the holiness is absolutely pure love. I mean, it is love so pure that even sin cannot be looked upon by this great God. So the first thing that happens when you really get right with God, if you really want a life that's beautiful, fall in love with God. Well, but Brother Chambers, I can't see him. I don't know where he is. I don't understand him. My eyes can't see into that distance. Let me tell you, this Bible is a window by which you look into the face of God. This Bible is an open door by which you gaze upon the marvel of the heavenly. This Bible is a great, great opening where you can look into the realm of that which is wonderful and beautiful and mighty. Oh, hallelujah. You can't look in the Bible with a true heart and not see love. Hallelujah. The Bible is the door of love. And the Holy Ghost is the agent of love. And the blood of Jesus is the cleansing by which love is made even more possible. Hallelujah. Oh, listen to me this morning. Love, the love of God. The Bible makes it plain that God says he wants you to love him with all of your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength. Now, there's very little of that in our day, I'm afraid, because you see, it takes the Holy Ghost to have the real love. It takes the work of God to have the real love. The Bible speaks of the Holy Ghost shedding abroad in your heart the love of God. The Bible talks about that. Oh, I pray this morning. Oh, somebody help me. Hallelujah, Lord. Shed abroad the love of God in my heart. Oh, let me be full of it. I got to stop a minute. The virtue of love is something so breathtaking. It's really overwhelming. It's beautiful. It towers above every this world. This world is so missing of real value that makes living wonderful. I want to tell you something. You begin to love. You begin to really love. You begin to love God. You begin to love your family. You begin to love your wife or your husband. You begin to love the brothers and the sisters. You begin to love the Bible and the church. I want to tell you, you'll find that there's more happiness in this old filthy world than you ever imagined. While the world is running around you like people with no direction and no understanding, you can stand there as solid as you are. Hallelujah, in grace and just keep on loving. Amen. I got to share a minute with these first three verses. Now listen to me. You tell me you're full of the Holy Ghost and you're not full of love. I tell you, you don't have the real Holy Ghost. You got a substitute. You got an imitation. You listen to me. You get full of this love. You get full of the Holy Ghost and you'll be full of this love. The Holy Ghost is God's agent of love. Did you know that? Oh, he's an agent of a lot of things, but he's an agent of love. Hallelujah. The love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. When the Holy Ghost rules and reigns in your heart, love will have a seat right in the middle of it. Love will have a place right in the middle of it. Love is just a wonderful thing. Now, you don't just love God with a few emotions. I love what I read this week studying the life of Paul. The Bible said he served God with his spirit. We got a lot of people that only serve God with their emotion. You got to stir up their emotion. You got to get a good fast song. You got to almost shout at them to get them to worship. You know why some of you can't worship? It's because your worship is emotion. And you, if you don't get in the emotion, you don't worship. I want to tell you something. I worship in the spirit. Hallelujah. If I don't feel a thing, I still throw my hands up and I worship God. Hallelujah. My greatest joy comes when I sacrifice worship. Woo! Somebody help me. Hallelujah. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I'm a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You come to church and you can put on a little hoopla. You can have a little emotional titillation, and you can make a little noise, and you can maybe act a little erratic, and yet you don't have love. He said you're just a sound in brass and a tinkling cymbal. The Pentecostal church world is so full of that. The Pentecostal church world is so full of that. You hear me, church? Hallelujah. The real love of God is even bigger and above speaking in tongues and shouting and having all the gifts of the Holy Ghost as beautiful, as absolutely necessary as they are, as wonderful as having this mighty Holy Ghost is. It is when he comes in Holy Ghost power, when the unction of God is upon you, that's when it becomes wonderful. Hallelujah. And though I have the gift of prophecy, I've heard people try to prophesy. I've heard people try to give a message in tongues. I've heard people try to give an interpretation of tongues, and it sound like a tinkling bell, like some kind of cymbal shaking. One of those things that the little fellow was playing over there. I'm not against them now. I'm not criticizing that. I'm just telling you that's what speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Holy Ghost are, if the man who or woman whom God is using is not full of love. Hallelujah. Love. Do you understand? Are you with me? God wants us to be full of love. God wants your heart to be so melted with love that while I'm preaching, you would stand up and start squalling a little bit because of your love for God. When I begin to love God, I often begin to squall. I often begin to cry out. Because the love of God is such a wonderful feeling and such a wonderful thing in my heart. More wonderful than speaking in another language. And I love it. Oh, God, thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost that prays in me, that sings in me, that shouts in me. But I want to tell you, feeling the love of God is part of all of that and makes it wonderful. Amen. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Are you listening? Don't just make a sacrifice. Make a sacrifice because of love. Don't just make a sacrifice. Make a sacrifice because of love. Don't you pay your tithes in this church because you feel pressure from Brother Chambers to pay your tithes. No, sirree. You learn to love him and you pay your tithes because you are in love with God. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Pay them because you're in love with God. Don't just be a sacrifice in your church, and we need some sacrifices. Oh, how we need some laborers and soul winners and some dedicated ushers and Sunday school teachers and Wednesday night teachers. I could go on and name the things this church needs, but I want you to do them because you are in love. Because the love of God has captured you. Because the love of God has taken a hold of you. Because the love of God has flooded you. Hallelujah. It'll be no trouble to go out on Saturday morning and knock on doors looking for snotty-nosed kids to bring to Sunday school when you fall in love. It'll be no problem to give God an offering, to give God a sacrificial offering when you fall in love with God. When your love for the church becomes a consuming emotion, when your love for the kingdom of God takes hold of you and you love it and you praise him and you thank God for the church, hallelujah, it'll be a joy. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, there's nothing that matches the love of God. Hallelujah. It's at the pinnacle of all spiritual values. It's at the top list of all the great virtues of godly living. Hallelujah. Everything that flows out of love will be pure and rich. Everything that flows from other sources will be questionable. Let the love of God fill your heart. Let the love of God cover you like a garment. Let the love of God get a hold of you and control your every emotion. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. I love it when he says, love never faileth. Love never faileth. You wonder why people drop out of church? You wonder why people will do good for a while and before you know it, they're on the blink. You wonder why people just cannot be faithful and just cannot stay with it. It's because somewhere they missed that discovery of love. You say, Brother Chambers, I may be one of those. What do I do about it? You cry out to God to fill you with His love. And you give up all yourself for His love. You become a sacrificial person. You lay your life on the line to Him. God, above everything, I want to be full of love. Love suffereth long. Love is kind. Love vaunteth not itself. Love is not puffed up. Love doesn't act like it's something it isn't. Love does not have some cocky attitude. Love is so beautiful. Love is so wonderful. Love is so beautiful. How many love love? Let me see your hand. Hallelujah. Let's talk about the love of the church. I said to somebody this morning, how much I love the church. It happened to me, Brother Marlon, the night I got saved. A Tuesday night, I think it was, in the March of 1952. And I got saved. And I fell in love with church. And never has that waned. I remember when we lost our building on Little Rock. And we was worshiping in the schoolhouse, and you couldn't go there during the week, and I was longing for church. And I remember, I don't know whether Sister Chambers ever noticed me or not, I would go into the closet there in our bedroom and shut the door and hide back in the corner and sit there with my Bible, and I would do my best to have church in that closet. And I was missing the altar in the house of God with all of my heart. I wanted the altar. I wanted the altar in the sanctuary. I wanted the altar where the Holy Ghost works. I wanted the altar where singing saints praise God on the Lord's day. I wanted the altar where I could get there before the Lord. And I didn't have one. And I had to make me a substitute one in a closet. But God helped me to hide away. And it was like hiding in the presence of the Holy God. Because I love the house of God. I love the house of God. Did you hear me? I love the house of God. Brother Chambers, the church is not that important. Well, listen, take heed therefore unto yourselves, to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. I want to tell you something. He bought the church with blood. Just like He bought your soul with blood. He bought the church with blood. Now, are you listening to me? If you're having trouble really loving the church, you're having trouble being faithful to the church, if you're having trouble settling down and being a part of the house of God, I want you to listen to me. He purchased the church with His blood. You say, that's not a building. That's anywhere that a group of saints get together and make them a place of worship, a cave, a tent, a storefront building, a beautiful place. It don't matter a bit. This became the house of God when we built it for that reason. Hallelujah. And he purchased the church with His own blood. Amen. You had to twist the Bible to take that away, brother. You got to twist the Bible to destroy that. If you don't love the house of God, there's something missing in your spiritual life. If you don't love the church, you have not been converted fully, or at least you haven't been sanctified at all. When you fall in love with the church, it's an evident sign that something wonderful has happened in you. Oh, yes, you can find fault. We are not perfect. Not a one of us is perfect. Not even me. Oh, I'm not in the least. Marlon, you ain't either. Hallelujah. Oh, but he's a wonderful brother, isn't he? Don't you love the house of God? Let me see the hands of everybody that loves the house of God. Let me ask you something. Where else in the world can you go and feel what you feel in the church? I've been to every place there is to go to. And never have I discovered anything that feels to my heart like the church. Anybody's ever been somewhere that felt better than the church? Let me see your hand. So I can tell you, you've never been saved. You don't dare raise your hand, do you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You get saved, you love the house of God. I love the house of God. I love my brothers and my sisters. I love you. I love you. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for every brother. I'm grateful. Some of you don't get as much attention as others. Brother Martin's going to get his because he's going to be in the middle of this teaching. And he's going to be in the middle of being everything God called him to be. And I love every minute of it. Hallelujah. Others will sit back and be a little quieter. But they're just as precious. That just is wonderful. Don't you love your brothers and sisters? Reach out a hand to somebody sitting beside you. Don't get up now. And just lay your hand on them and say, I love the church. I love the church. I love the church. I'm grateful for the church. Hallelujah. That's part of love. You love everything that God loves. I love my wife. Ain't no man ever had a wife that loved her better than I love mine. You say, Brother Chambers, you don't know that's true. Well, I think it is, and it's okay if I want to think it is. I know how much I love her. A man of God will love his wife. You don't love your wife, there's something wrong in your life. I'm here to tell you, God will fill your heart with love for that woman he gave you. You ask her to marry you. You ask her to become yours. You ask her to share the rest of your life with you. Now you love her and you treat her with nothing but the highest of love and the highest of respect. And make sure, little lady, you love your husband. Hallelujah. Ain't nothing like walking into your house in the middle of the day, facing everything you got to face. And you hear your wife say, hey, honey, is that you? Yes, me. Come here quickly. And she comes running with a little hug, you know, and maybe a little kiss, you know. There ain't nothing like that. You say, Brother Chambers, you're getting crazy. I am. The older I get, the crazier I get about my wife loving me and me loving my wife. You said, oh, that's God's business. The Bible said, love your wife even as Christ loved the church. Say it with me, would you? Love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Listen to me now. And gave himself for it. Oh, come on, church. I'm talking about love. I'm not getting silly, I don't think. I'm here to tell you that love is a wonderful virtue. And I want it to consume me. I want it to consume you. And I'm here to tell you, if this church will fall in love with everything that God loves, we're going to start growing better and greater and quicker and sweeter and more wonderful than ever. Do you love God? Do you love Jesus? Do you love the Holy Ghost? Do you love your wife? You love your husband? You love your children? You love your grandchildren? You love the Bible? You love everything about God? Do you love missions? Missions. Listen. Listen to me. How long? How long since you were praying and you began to weep over lost souls? How long since you were praying? I remember as an early young day in my Christian life when weeping for the lost was a way of life in the church. I remember when everybody was trying to get somebody to bring them to the house of God to get them saved. I remember when people would be going down the street and they would hear the Holy Ghost say, go to that house right yonder. There's somebody there that needs you. And they'd turn aside and stop at a house they'd never been to in their life. They didn't know who lived there. And they would go to the door and say, the Lord moved my heart to stop here. And the person would say, yes, and I was just begging God to send somebody to help me. And they would get saved. Where are those days in the house of God when they love sinners with all their heart? You can't love Jesus if you don't love the lost. We must learn again to weep for the unsaved. How many of you would say, I'm ready to start weeping for the unsaved? Let me see your hand. I'm ready to start weeping for that man and that woman who doesn't know the Redeemer. I'm willing and ready to start weeping for my neighbors. They've been mean to me, but I've forgiven them, and I'm here to win them to Christ. How many of you love the prison house and the jail house? How many of you are willing to go on the street street and tell somebody about Jesus. How many of you have got a burden for the lost? You see, help me a minute. Would you raise your hand and just pray? Father, help us. Help us. Father, move in this church. Father, move on everybody sitting in here this morning and give them a passion for those who are lost and going to hell. Do something with me. Take the worst enemy you got and stand over the boundaries of hell. Look over there and see that enemy in all the flames of hellish torment. And tell me it makes you feel good to see him in there. No. No. I don't want nobody to go to hell. I don't care what they do to me or say to me. I don't want them to go to hell. For weeks now, I've been conjuring in my mind up families and individuals and people who have harmed and have hated and have done despite to this pastor. And I've been turning my love in their direction with everything inside of me. I've been weeping for them. I've been calling them on the phone. If I miss them, I just pray. Let the Holy Ghost anoint me to pray. If I get them, I just tell them how much I love them and I'm praying for them. It's time that we loved our worst enemies. It's time that we loved every sinner. It matters not who he is, who she is. Where they live. It matters not what color their skin is. It matters not anything about their income and their level of wealth. We love men and women who are lost because we were lost one day and the Redeemer found us and we fell in love with him. Hallelujah. You know what a witness is? A witness is a man who found bread telling somebody else who's hungry where to find bread. Hallelujah. We found the bread of life. We found the hope of the world. We found the joy of heaven. We found the blessedness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody help me. I love sinners. I don't want them to stay sinners, but I want to love them. Okay, raise our hand and just, God help us. God help us. Let this book, let this chapter get a hold of us until every one of us begin to possess it and let it possess us so that we can win the lost and help men and women find God. God help us. Lost, going to hell. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Listen to me, church. The love of God is rich, pure. The love of God knows no end. The love of God reaches the highest height and goes to the lowest hell. The love of God reaches to the east and to the west. It knows no boundaries. Do you hear me? The love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. Somebody tell God you want his love to possess you. And now abideth faith and hope and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. I'm charging every person in this building to memorize 13 verses, 1 Corinthians 13, over the next 7 days. I'm asking you to do, how many will do your best? I'm going to memorize it. Raise your hand up high. I'm going to memorize it. Come on, I want to see everybody. Come on, boys. You kids can memorize that in a day's time, much less a week's time. When Paul the Apostle was 14 years old, and he went to Jerusalem to study in the rabbinical school, he already knew 5 languages. He could quote the whole first 5 books of the Bible without seeing a thing. They didn't have Bibles then. They were scrolls. They had to learn it. They had to memorize it. When I got saved, we memorized the scripture over and over. Everybody did. No Christian would dare not live day by day memorizing verses of the Bible. The Bible is a door into love. Did you hear me? The Bible is a door into the grandest love you ever knew. There's no love like this love. There's no feeling like this feeling. Oh, I wish you could feel it with me this morning. I wish you could feel the love of God that has been flooding me ever since last night. I'm overwhelmed when God comes with such a love and just embraces me all over again. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter how much you love God. You need to love Him more and greater and with a deeper passion until literally it possesses you. Hallelujah. The love of God. I wish I could sing. I'd sing the love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure to angels, days long, whatever. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. Now, would you slip a hand up? God, let love cover this place. Let love take hold of Brother Johnson. Let love take a hold of Sister Marilyn. Let love take a hold of Sister Stephanie, Brother Keziah. Let love grip this place. Josiah. Let love. God, raise your hand now, Holy Ghost. I'm waiting on the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, let your love get a hold of every heart. Holy Ghost, let your love get a hold of every heart. Help anybody in this building who is careless about church life. Let love get a hold of them for the church. Anybody in the building who is careless about any particular part of the godly life. Let love get a hold of them until they fall in love with it. Until they want whatever God has. Hallelujah. 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 Let me share something in closing. Listen. When I was a child, I spake like a child. I understood like a child. I thought like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know what Paul was saying? Paul was saying, if you've never learned love, you're still just a kid. You talk, well, kids have more love most of the time than adults, but you still don't have any devotion to it. You don't have any discipline of it. It doesn't possess you. He said, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. How many men in this building will raise your hand way up high? Brethren, every one of you men, every one of you men, raise your hand up high. Come on, let me see it. Now, say, I'm going to put away childish things. I'm going to put away childish things. I'm going to put away acting like a brat. I'm going to put away acting like some spoiled little kid that mama has gave him everything he needed every time he cried. I want to grow up and become a man. Come on, brethren. I want to grow up and become a man. How about you? I believe most of you do. I really do. God's going to work. God's going to work. God's going to do some things that's wonderful. God's going to do some things that's marvelous and mighty. Hallelujah. Father, draw us close to you this morning. Let somebody cry out, fill me with love. I wonder if you'd say it with me right where you stand. Raise your head up high so that God knows you're looking toward Him. Fill me with love, Father. 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 Anybody saying it? Fill me with love, Father. Fill me with love. How many ladies will raise your hand and say that? I fill me with love, Father. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love Jesus. Would you come and lead us in that, Sister Yvette? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you just to step out and meet me at the altar. And we're going to sing How I Love Jesus. And we're going to close in prayer here together. Come visit us. Come. Please be a part of this. Oh, what a joy. The love of God. The love of God. The love of God.
He went running through the streets to share.
I wish I could have been there when the thousands were fed with just two fish and some bread to see the little boy packing up the rest. I wish I could have been there to see the lame that could lead. The dumb that could speak
and see the multitudes of people Jesus blessed.
I wish I could have seen the stone that went around.
grave clothes way out in the sea, but I believe that he is singing in the air, and I really wish I could have been there.
He commanded Lazarus to walk right out of his grave, and in a Galilean storm he started coming the waves. I want to feel that breeze blowing on my face. I want to know the smell. I want to taste the taste. Just a reading that it couldn't compare.
I wish I could have been there when the thousands were fed with just two fish and some bread, to see the little boy packing up the rest. I wish I could have been there to see the lame that could lead, hear the dumb that could speak,
and see the multitudes of people Jesus blessed.
I wish I could have seen the stone that went rolling away when they looked inside the door to where the grave clothes lay. I didn't see, but I believe that he is sitting in the air, and I really wish I could have been there.
I wish I could have
been there when the thousands were fed with just two fish and some bread, and see the little boy packing up the rest. I wish I could have.